Going to be in Matthew 6, 16 through 18. Let's pray. Lord, now as we open your word, please open our hearts. We know that if you don't help us understand it, you don't help us to get it, you don't help us to apply it, this time will be wasted. Lord, we don't want to do anything but hear from you. So help us to focus our thoughts and our hearts on you, on your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I was trying to think about this last week and wondering if I had ever in my growing up years heard someone speak about fasting. And I don't think I did. Not in a biblical context anyway. And so if prayer makes you feel uncomfortable, well, maybe fasting will make it worse. That seems to be what happens sometimes. We talk about things that are hard. But the first thing that we think about fasting is that the Old Testament law required of the Jewish people that they fast once a year on the Day of Atonement. There were other fasts that were called, sometimes in times of national distress, sometimes personal fasting, but only one day a year was required in the law, and that was the Day of Atonement. If you think of fasting, you may be thinking, oh, that's right, the Muslim people fast during Ramadan and that's during daylight hours for 30 days, and they fast from things like bathing, drinking, eating, any unnecessary indulgence from sunup to sundown, and then after that, everything's normal. Some people fast for medical reasons, lose weight or other things that they have to do. When we were in Bolivia, the university students were always calling hunger strikes, which are really just a fast, and it was a hunger strike trying to force somebody to do something. That's always what a hunger strike was. And so the students would stop eating, and then they would call press conferences and get people to come and listen to their grievances. And really, this was, they were just trying to say, we're just not going to eat again until we get what we want. That was what they were fasting for. And normally these things lasted 2 or 3 days, and when the reporter stopped coming around, they pretty much stopped fasting. It just wasn't that important of a thing most of the time. But that's what a hunger strike was. So maybe you've heard of fasting in those terms. And Jesus was addressing a culture and people who understood fasting. They understood what the law meant, and people fasted. Many people fasted a lot. And so this is really the third example of the three things that Jesus wanted to talk to them about, those spiritual disciplines, if you would. The first one was giving, the second one was prayer, and the third one is fasting. Those were the three that he mentions. That's not all that there are in spiritual disciplines, but those are the ones that Jesus mentioned as being abused in his time frame, especially by the religious leaders. So let's jump in and see. And Jesus starts in verse 16 when he says, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full." When you fast, again, he's speaking to his disciples, and it's a statement of when, not if. And Jesus is condemning fasting that the religious leaders do, the Pharisees do. He's not condemning fasting. He's not saying fasting should never be done. He is saying, when you fast, don't be like them in the way that they do it. Okay, so if you want a summary, that's a summary of all three verses right there. When you fast, do it in a way that honors God, in a way that only God knows about, and definitely don't do it like the Pharisees. That's what he's saying. So he says, when you fast, do not look somber. And the word there is to be sad and downcast, like someone who's in mourning. And you know that in the culture, if someone died, you would tear your clothes and you would throw ash all over yourself. And it was that kind of a thing. They would be downcast and somber as if they were in mourning. He says, don't be somber like the hypocrites, the people who are two-faced, those who say one thing and do something else. They're pretending to be godly and holy, but really they're doing all of this for show. They're doing all this so that you will admire them, so that you will approve of them. He says, when you fast, don't look somber and as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces. They would make themselves look bad. They would do whatever they needed to do to make sure people understood that they were indeed fasting. Sometimes it meant smearing ashes and making sure that they didn't do the normal things that they were supposed to take care of themselves. He says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces. Why do they do it? To show men they are fasting. That's why they're doing it. They want the approval and the applause of the people around them. They want people to stand on the corners and say, oh, there he is. Look, he's fasting again. Isn't that amazing? He must really be godly. That was what they were going for. And Jesus says, they've received the reward in full. They're not going to get anything from God. God is not going to be coerced by this. God is not going to be pushed by this, going one way or the other. They've received everything they're ever going to get in the recognition that they got from men. Now, in that time frame, the Pharisees fasted 2 days a week, normally, on market days, so that they could fast when there were more people there, actually. So the bigger the crowd, the more willing they were to fast publicly, so that everyone would notice. That was the whole point, and that's why Jesus says this. When you fast, don't do it like they do it. It isn't about getting noticed. So fasting, this quote I thought was especially appropriate. Fasting emphasized the denial of the flesh, but the Pharisees were glorifying the flesh and drawing attention to themselves. They missed the point. And Jesus says, don't be like that. Now, Jewish fasting, I'm just going to give you very quickly some of what was going on in that time frame culturally. Jewish fasting of Jesus' day was sometimes connected to mourning. They would fast from the time of the death of the person to the time the person was actually put in the tomb. Normally, that was less than 24 hours because of the time and the culture that they did that as quickly as they could. The second one was to focus on repentance, the recognition of sin, turning away from it. Sometimes fasting would be a national recognition of sin, and that would be declared by the king or the priests, and they would say, okay, we're going to spend time repentance, and part of that will be a fast. Sometimes it was an act of national humility, which kind of goes with the repentance, but an outer expression of sorrow as the people said, hey, we sinned grievously. Nehemiah and Ezra and others did that when they came back and realized they'd been in exile for 70 years because of what they had done. They come back and now they're sinning again. And they led the people in fasts of humility and sorrow over what had happened. And then there's two or three which could be twisted depending on whether it was done, you know, for the wrong way, trying to get attention. And it's very possible that some of them are saying, you know, God hasn't listened, so I'm going to fast and he will have to pay attention. It's like a hunger fast or like a hunger strike. I'm going to go on hunger strike so that God has to pay attention to me. And that's a bit on the twisted side there. Then there were those that were doing it vicariously in the sense that they were fasting for the sins of the nation. Now, Daniel did that very positively. We'll see some of what he did later as we're going through this, where he fasted for his own sins and the sins of the nation. But the only reason we know about it is the Spirit of God put it in the Scripture. It wasn't that he broadcast it to anybody. And see what was going on with these men many times is they were trying to say, well, we're fasting for the nation, but we want everybody to know that we're fasting for the nation. And then done for show, which is the last thing we just talked about. So the Pharisees really wanted to be known in that time frame. They wanted to be seen as the Daniel or the Ezra or the Nehemiah of their day. They wanted to be respected because they were fasting for the nation. And Jesus says, when you fast, don't be like that. He goes on in verse 17. So he says, don't be like that in verse 16. Verse 17, he said, but when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And again, when you fast, look at the way Jesus says that. When you fast, let me tell you how to do it. When you fast, this is the way I want you to do it. It's the same thing he said when you give and when you pray. He says it the same way here. It's a positive expectation when you fast. And he said, put oil on your head and wash your face. Now, really, what that means for us culturally today is go ahead and take a shower and put on clean clothes and comb your hair and shave and do all the normal things that you would do. You don't want to stand out for fasting. You want to fast and you want God to know and nobody else needs to. And then he says, put oil on your head, do all the normal things so that it will not be obvious to men. Look normal. Don't make a show of the fact that you're fasting. So it will not be obvious to men that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. God is not visible, but what we do is done in his presence. And so if we fast and nobody else knows but God, that's okay. God knows. He's standing right there. He's right there with us. And so we fast and we're doing that in God's presence. We don't need to do it for anybody else. And You know, our Father sees, and your Father sees. What is it? What matters is that God sees what we're doing, but also why we do it and how we do it. That's really important to remember. If you're thinking about fasting, remember that it's still all that matters is the heart. That's what matters. So if you're going to fast, what is it that you're doing? Well, I'm fasting. Why are you doing it? Well, I want to draw closer to God. And how are you going to do it? I'm going to do it secretly. Nobody else needs to know about this. It's between me and God. Because it's about my heart. And it's interesting, the response is, what is done in secret, God will reward you. God rewards those who seek after Him. The Pharisees of Jesus' day fasted, and it was a ritual to be done in order to get the admiration and the applause of others. Some of them were thinking they were getting God's attention. Others thought they were going to gain God's approval. And Jesus said they have their reward. They've already gotten all they're ever going to get. Godly reasons for fasting may be the whole idea of seeking after God. Maybe it's time to focus on maybe some time for prayer. Maybe it's a time to mourn over our sin and say, Lord, I know that I'm forgiven, but I don't want to do that again. Fasting for reasons like those, when nobody knows that we're fasting, that's when the kind of fasting that God rewards. And God will reward us. So what does that mean? Oh, does that mean if I fast for a new Corvette that He's going to give it to me? No, I don't think that's what He had in mind here. The reward is not necessarily what I have in mind. Okay, I'm going to fast about some things that are going on in my life. It may be that I've got in mind what I want God to do. That may not be what God does, but God does reward those who are doing this. And the reward may be that it's just God drawing us closer to Himself and helping us to see His goodness in a new way. Maybe it's God helping us to understand in a deeper, more meaningful way that He is involved and active in every part of our lives. And as we take time to fast, as we take time to spend that time looking and seeking after God, we realize that God's at work in ways we never even imagined. Because we take time to seek Him through fasting and prayer. And see, the Pharisees missed that. Fasting was supposed to be spiritual nature, from the heart, not just a ritual, not just something that you did because, well, Tuesdays and Thursdays, it's what we do. And Tuesdays and Thursdays are when people are here. And so people will get to say, oh man, I admire you because you fast. And fasting is to go without food or drink sometimes for a purpose, the purpose of seeking God. Maybe it's that we're seeking His direction and guidance. Maybe it's that we want to just seek His presence in a new way. Maybe we just want to understand a little bit more deeply what it is to know God. And so we take some time and we pray and we fast. And maybe it's just my lunch hours during this week. I say, okay, I'm going to take my lunch hours. I'm not going to eat. I'm going to take some extra time and just focus on the goodness of God. I want to know what the goodness of God is really all about. So I take my Bible and I spend a few minutes instead of eating. I spend that time focusing on that. You can do that in any way. You want to know about God's mercy or His grace, or you want to know about His faithfulness. You can take those things and begin to look at those and just take a few minutes a day. When normally you would be eating and surrounded by people and you get alone and you say, okay, I'm going to fast just now. See, fasting doesn't need to be no food, no drink for weeks and months at a time. It can be one meal if it's for a purpose. The purpose of seeking to know God or to know something from Him that He wants us to have. Now, there are different kinds of fasts that are mentioned in the Bible. I'm just going to run through them real quickly. If you want to know these, I can give them to you later. First of all, the absolute fast would be no food, no water. There's very few of those that are recorded. Food fasts, no food, but drinking water was okay. And there's a number of those through the scriptures that are mentioned. There's a modified fast. Daniel did several of those where he would only eat a very limited kind of a menu and only drink water. He wouldn't eat meat. He wouldn't do some other things. And he did that sometimes for 2 or 3 weeks at a time. Daniel did a modified fast. Nothing exceptional or special. And then there's a supernatural fast. Jesus is a good example of that, 40 days in the wilderness without food. Some people think it was without water too. The other thing that you think about here is Jesus fasted from food, perhaps water, but also from the presence of other people. This was a time of silence and solitude. It was Him and God. That's it. until Satan came and tempted him. And then fasting from other activities, contact with people and other things we'll mention a little bit later. So those are the kinds of fasts that are there. So now, let's just take a second, because in these first 18 verses of chapter 6, the big thing Jesus was hitting at was this, the danger of hypocrisy. Remember, he said, don't be like the hypocrites when it came to prayer. Don't be like the hypocrites when it came to giving. Don't be like the hypocrites when it comes to fasting. And so danger of hypocrisy is this. Jesus was clearly saying, don't be like those who are two-faced, pretending to be something that they're not. They're fasting for the nation, but really they're fasting for recognition. They want you to think that they're godly, but they're really not. They're presenting this image, but that's not who they are. And that's what a hypocrite is, someone who presents one thing but really isn't that at all. So hypocrisy is to be two-faced, pretending to be something that we're not. Hypocrisy robs us, in no matter what way we act, it really robs us of these things. First of all, it robs us of spiritual rewards. If we're being hypocritical, then God has already said, you got your reward. There is no reward for what you're doing. If you're giving, praying, fasting, or any other spiritual discipline for other people to notice, God says, then forget it. You know, you've already gotten all of the reward that you're going to get. Hypocrisy robs us of the reality in our Christian walk. We are walking this way and talking this way. There's no reality there. You know, the only reality is the reality that you're pretending to be something that you are not. And so it robs us of that reality. And because of that, it robs us of our spiritual impact. Stop and think about that. How can you impact other people when it's obvious that you are not what you say you are? Yes, you say you're a Christian, but I see the things that you do. Yes, you say that you go to church and you're involved in a Bible study, but I hear the words that come out of your mouth. The two don't go together. And it robs us of impact. So what is the solution to hypocrisy? Here's a quote. The solution to hypocrisy, or wrong motivation, if you will, in the spiritual disciplines is not to abolish fasting, giving, or praying. Jesus never said, so don't do it. He said, when you do these things, here's how I want you to do them. He never said, don't do them. But to set those things and all other spiritual disciplines in the context of loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. If that's our context for taking some times of solitude, which is one of the disciplines, and I just get alone and I want to be quiet and don't want to be surrounded by noise and things and stuff. I just want to be alone with God. If I'm doing that for the purpose of knowing God better, that's amazing. That's what God's looking for in us. And that gives me an opportunity to learn to love God more with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. As you look at the scriptures, there's all kinds of places where fasting is mentioned from the Old Testament on through the New. I've already mentioned that in the Old Testament, there's only one required fast, and that was the Day of Atonement. There were many voluntary fasts, and then there were prophets or kings that called for national fasts many times. But only one is required. In the New Testament, it is entirely voluntary, as far as I can tell. There's no scripture that says you must fast. So here are some biblical examples so that we can kind of draw from both the Old and the New Testament some ideas of why fasting was done besides those times when it was required in the Old Testament. So the first one is in times of sorrow and mourning. Fasting was an expression of grief, tearing clothes, putting ash on. And it was basically just a statement of, I'm in internal agony over what has happened. So in times of sorrow and mourning, people fasted. There are people today. They don't even think about it maybe, but they just don't eat when they're struggling through some of those kinds of really hard times when you lose someone, for instance. In times of danger or special need. And Esther's a great example of that. Remember the story of Esther. She heard about a plot that all of the Jewish people in the whole empire were going to be annihilated in the Persian Empire. So she went to her uncle and she said, get all of the Jewish people here in the capital to fast. And this was a 3-day fast, no food, no water. Fast for 3 days. And then I'll go and see if the king will receive me, if you remember the story. I had a friend and his wife who were praying over a possible adoption, and they decided to fast about this because this was important to them. But they didn't keep the secret at all, and they didn't ask the church to pray and fast with them, which I thought would have been okay to do. But they decided to go and pray and fast, and everybody found out because she kept talking about how cantankerous her husband was when he didn't eat. And so it kind of, you know, diminished the purpose of what they were going on. But if there's a special need or a danger, those are appropriate times to take some time and fast before God. And sometimes maybe call on others to fast with you. Again, that's okay. The next one, when seeking insight or understanding, and here we look at Daniel. Daniel saw in the scriptures that the exiles, he'd been there the whole time, and he saw that at the end of the 70 years, as he was reading Jeremiah, he thought, hey, wait a minute here, the time's up. And so he started to fast and pray. Look at what it says. I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting, in sackcloth and in ashes. And why was he in sackcloth and ashes? He was mourning over the sins of the nation. He was mourning over what had grieved God so much that he took his people, chosen people, and kicked them out of their own country and put them in slavery and exile. And then later on, as he was thinking about what was happening, because some of the people had already gone back and there were some difficulties, and it seems that it's in that context that Daniel wanted some clarity and was praying for God to show him some special way that's, you know, what was going to happen with the Jewish people. He was wondering, what's going to happen with us? And in chapter 10, verses 2 and 3, at that time I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. Again, that whole idea of mourning attached to fasting. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were done. So for him, this was modified, but understand what he was doing was he was saying, I'm going to have just the basic necessities, just enough food to keep me alive and enough water to keep me going, nothing fancy, and there's no indication here that anybody knew about it except maybe, you know, he was way up in the government at this point, maybe his servants knew, but Daniel didn't make a big deal of it, but he was mourning over the sin of Israel and mourning for insight and understanding as to what would come. And that's another reason why we may want to take some time to fast some time and just take some time to pray and say, God, I need some help and some direction here. And so we take some time. Maybe it's just a meal. Maybe it's a day. Take some time to do that. Another example of repentance, or another example of fasting, is in Ezra, in times of repentance, national mourning. Ezra came back, he led the people, he was bringing back God's word, they were going to establish the temple again and all those things, and there's sin just prevalent everywhere, and so he got the people to fast and to pray, and the whole point of the fasting and the praying was to put them back in focus with what God wanted and expected of them, to put them back in the sense of saying, Lord, we do want to obey you. We want to follow you. No, we are not right when we follow our own sinful paths. And then, jumping into the New Testament, example of fasting as part of worship. When Jesus was presented at the temple, and he was being presented there, for the dedication of the firstborn son. And it says in Luke 2, Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. And look at what it says about Anna. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. How incredible would it be to be known as someone who is always seeking God's presence? Someone who was known as a worshiper, and in her case, I'm not sure that she broadcast it, but people became aware of the fact that this is a woman who's focused on God, and eating and that kind of stuff just doesn't matter to her. What matters is God. And so as part of her worship, Anna fasted and prayed. Also in times of dedication for service, we see it. Early in the church, you have the church in Antioch where Paul and Barnabas were, and it says in verse 2 of Acts 13, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed hands on them and sent them off. Isn't that fascinating? So here they are as a church, whether they were all worshiping together and fasting, maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was the whole church. It doesn't say it was just the leadership. So the church is fasting and praying. Maybe they'd set aside a certain day when they would come together and they would pray and worship and learn and grow together. And in that time, they were fasting. And in that time, God spoke in a special way, uniquely to them, saying, I have a special plan for these two guys. Set them aside. And so they continued their fasting and praying, laid hands on them, prayed on them, and sent them away. There are some churches who actually practice that when it comes to ordination or when it comes to commissioning. They will declare a day of fasting as a church, and then at the end of that time, they will pray for their missionaries and send them off. The second one is Paul and Barnabas. They went out on this trip. They planted a bunch of churches all over the place. And on their way back, it says in chapter 14, verse 23, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting, committed them to the Lord. So in each case, they were saying, okay, Lord, who do you want here? And they were praying and fasting over it. And God made clear who the elders were to be. They appointed those elders, and they fasted and prayed over them and appointed them to that ministry. So fasting is voluntary. Fast should be between us and God, unless it's something that as a church or as a family we're doing. But we fast for all kinds of reasons. There's a number of them here. Maybe it's just to get to know God better. It's not to be something that we do to be noticed. We don't let it drop. I get a headache when I don't eat. Oh, why are you eating? Well, I've been fasting for 3 days. Yeah, that misses the point. Jesus says, when you fast, don't let anybody know about it. Focus on God. Let your heart be drawn to Him in special and unique ways. So what do we take away from this? Well, the question, should we fast? I grew up in a church that basically said, no, it's not something that we do. I didn't say you couldn't do it, but it was not encouraged in any way. I'm not putting them down. That's the teaching that some of the elders had come down with. But should we fast? Well, New Testament, it's not commanded. Old Testament only commanded in one situation. But what did Jesus say in verse 17? Jesus implied that we would fast. He said, when, not if, you fast. And then he tells us how. Put oil on your head and wash your face. In other words, do what you normally do, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting. Nobody needs to know this, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So the question becomes, should we fast? Well, why would Jesus tell us how to fast if he didn't think we were going to? That's what this is. This is Jesus saying, don't do it like they did it. When you fast, do it like this. Now, he didn't say, you need to do it every Tuesday and Thursday or every Sunday. He didn't say any of that. It's not commanded in that way. And I'm telling you right up front, it is an implication. Jesus didn't say, you must all fast at some point. But look at the wording and look at what he has said. When you fast, do it this way. One other section in Matthew 9. John's disciples came and asked him, Jesus, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? He said, hey, I'm with them right now. I'm here. I'm like the bridegroom. How can they fast at that time? And the implication and the answer would be, they don't. However, he goes on to say, the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and he rises up into heaven, and then they will fast. Again, that's not a statement of they might, they could. It's not even a statement of they should, it's a statement of they will. Okay? And so, Jesus said his disciples would fast, and he gives us, his followers, the freedom to choose how and when to do that. If we want to do it very rarely, that's our choice. If we want to do it regularly, that's fine too. The reason for it is the most important. Why am I going to fast? It should be for the purpose of seeking God in some special way, whether it's just to know Him better or to spend some time in prayer or to be in His Word a little bit more. Whatever the case may be, it's for a purpose. And the purpose is not to be noticed by others. Okay? So here's some wrong reasons for fasting. Just so that we get it completely covered here. Wrong reasons for fasting to impress others. I am so godly, I fasted last week. Yeah, don't be too impressed. To get God's attention. Okay, I'm gonna go on a hunger strike and make God listen to me. No, doesn't work. I'm going to fast to force God to do something. We cannot coerce God. We cannot do anything to make God do anything. We can humbly come to Him and pray and request. We cannot make Him do anything. Or when it's just a ritual. Well, you know what? I'm supposed to fast. Pastor Mark said I'm supposed to fast, so I'm going to go fast. I don't know why, but I'm going to do it. Again, those are all wrong reasons. Here's some things that you can do or think through as you're if you decide that you want to do some fasting. There certainly may be some others. Fasting may provide a time for prayer and worship. Just a time when you say, I'm going to set aside this time. And that's something that I have encouraged people to do for a long time. Just take, especially if you're at a place where you get a lunch break. Many times now you eat while you're still working. But if you do get a lunch break, take that time. Don't eat. If God lays that on your heart, don't eat. But take the time to think about the Lord, to pray, to spend some time in His Word, to say, Lord God, You are more important to me than food. And I want to just spend some time with You. To help seeking God's will. Carol and I have at various times have taken time to say, okay, Lord, we're going to set aside a little time because we don't know what's next for us. And we long for You to show us. And so we would set aside a certain amount of time. Maybe it's the whole idea of submitting to God. Maybe you understand that there's this really difficult thing that I know God wants me to be involved in or to do. And I just, I'm having struggles with this, Lord. And so we take some time to fast and ask God to help us with those struggles. Just a focused time. Maybe it's a time to just help us to see there are things that we can do to simplify our lives and live with less. That's another one of the disciplines, spiritual disciplines, is the discipline of simplicity. Scaling back and living with fewer things and less stuff. That's a possibility too. Another one, to help us value God, not just His gifts. I'm going to not eat in order that I can value who You are, God, and just be so thankful before You. I want to do this because, Lord God, I want You to know that food is nowhere near as important to me as You are. That's kind of the thought. Now, let me just say this very, very clearly. If you have ever had problems with any kind of eating disorder, make sure you're accountable to someone who understands that before you do this. Because this can be a really hard and dangerous thing for someone. And if you have a medical condition where fasting is something that's dangerous, make sure you talk to your doctors. But what kind of fasts are there today? What kind of things do we suggest? Again, remember, this is voluntary. One is fasting from food. I've mentioned several of those already. Take a lunch time or take all your lunches during the weekdays to do something with God. If you want to do a 24-hour fast, a great way to do it is from supper time after supper to the next supper. So you're really only maybe missing two meals, but it's a time period that you've said, I'm going to set aside this time. And when I would normally be eating, I'm going to be doing something to focus my heart on God, whether it's reading or whatever. Here's another one. How about fasting from TV? Or from Netflix, or Hulu, or video games. That's a smart thing to do from time to time. To say, okay, I'm going to turn that off. I'm going to take a week and just dedicate myself to not doing that. I'm going to tell on myself, I absolutely love sports, played sports, love watching them, especially football. I enjoy football. And one of the things that has been really hard for me in the past is that you get up in the morning and the first thing I do is flip on ESPN. I mean, catch up on everything that happened and watch the highlights. And And for me, I've discovered that, although, please don't hear me saying that watching is sinful. It's not. But as I've been trying to draw closer to the Lord and trying to really focus my heart and soul on Him, I've discovered that at least 3 or 4 days a week, I just have to say, no, I'm not watching anything until I come home in the evening. In the morning, I'm just not going to, because if I do, I can wander off into this stuff and there's nothing wrong with any of it, but I'll take time doing this and that and the other thing, and eventually a couple of hours will be gone. And I don't want to do that. And so for me, I'll take 3 or 4 days a week and I'll just say no in the morning. So think about that. Video games, Netflix, Hulu, TV, whatever it is. Okay? For a week. We're going to spend some time. Here's another one. I've had some friends who have done this. Fasting from Facebook. Yeah. Some people can't live without finding out what their friends did overnight. Or communicating with other people or seeing what's going on. And quite honestly, I understand the attraction because I find out what a lot of people are doing by watching Facebook in the morning. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with saying to people, I won't be here for the next week. And then shutting it off. And just not doing it. Again, what's the purpose? The purpose would be to take the time you normally spend, and if you start measuring how much time you put into any of those activities, and say, I'm not going to do that, I'm going to instead seek God during that time, it's amazing what you'll see happen. So when we fast from food or luxuries or TV or whatever it is, we're saying, God, you're more important to me than watching ESPN. Lord, you're more important to me than being on Facebook and keeping up with my friends. It may be really our way of saying, Lord, you are more important than any of these things, and I want to know you better. See, how we relate to God is so much more important than any other thing in our lives. And how do we get to know Him? Well, it's time with Him. And if we're spending all our time in all of these other things and never take that time to focus in, and that's what this does. You can design a fast in any way, something that has become really big in your life. Then you say, okay, I'm going to walk away from that for a while. And that's okay if the purpose is to pursue God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and thank you for the fact that you challenge us. You challenge us even in these areas of life. You challenge us to seek you and pursue you. And Lord, I just want to this morning challenge myself and each of us to think through what it would look like for us, for me, to do some fasting of some kind. And Lord, we ask that you would lay it on our hearts. This is not a legalism that we want to put on anybody. We want your Spirit to lay it on people's hearts individually. Because Lord, we long to be a group of people who are drawn closer and closer to you. We ask this in your name. Amen.